Hello, Homefront, and welcome to another edition of Homebound Homefront. I don't have any announcements this week, so I'm not going to use any slides. A couple of things real quick. The discussion questions at the end you will find on the webpage along with the link to this video, if that's the way you accessed it, or in the Homefront email that you should have also gotten. You can participate, and I would love to see more of you there at our 9:30 Sunday morning Zoom discussion, virtual table discussion time. You'll also find the link to that and the Zoom conversation in the email. If you don't get the Homefront email, if you don't get the Homefront email and you think you should be getting it, email me, MikeMyers@restandbible.org, and I will make sure that you get on that list. One more time, and I know they say this every week, just an encouragement to you all, get connected with each other. We've been apart for 3 months. It's been a really long time. And I know if you guys like me, even the introverts among us still actually need some fellowship time, some face-to-face connection time. And we can do that in smaller groups. So I encourage you guys, reach out to each other, check on each other, get together, sit on the back porch. Patricia and I have been doing that as much as we can. So I encourage you guys to do that as well. We're starting a new series this week. The series is called Survivor. Homefront edition. I think it's kind of apropos given the times that we're in. Jesus promises us a lot of good things. There are so many benefits to being in Christ. But Jesus also promises that tribulation and trials will come. So we really shouldn't be surprised when that happens. So how does a marriage survive? How does a marriage and a family survive and thrive in the midst of upheaval, in the midst of trials, crisis? I know you guys have probably heard it said by politicians, right, that you should never let a good crisis go to waste. Usually they mean that very cynically because they want to take advantage of the situation to do something that otherwise the citizens would not, you know, go along with so readily. But I think in our case, in the case that we're talking about here, I think there is some truth to that because we run the risk oftentimes of missing out on the learning and the growing opportunities that are provided to us by the Lord, really, through tribulation, through trials. If you think about like exercising, like working out, if you can imagine working out and getting absolutely no health benefits from it all, if it was just all pain and no gain, right? Nobody would do it. It would be miserable. And this is a kind of a similar thing. So how do we as couples and as families learn the most, survive, but also thrive through tribulation? So the first thing is, you know, like I said in my introduction online, we don't vote our spouse off the island. But what we do is we reaffirm our alliance with Christ and we take up the fight in the Spirit. And that's what we're going to unpack over the next three sessions. You know, when the kids and I are away from the house for any length of time, and we leave Patricia home by herself, there's something extraordinary that happens. And the phenomenon is this, the chaos that we left behind, right? The chaos that we created and then left behind. When we walk out the door, between the time we walk out the door and the time we come back, that chaos is transformed. And I know how it happens. It happens like this, sort of like the Spirit of God that hovered over the waters of chaos at creation. Patricia hovers about the house, about the chaos of the house, and puts things right, puts things back into alignment. And so when we get home, what are we met with? We're met with order and even the light scent of cleaning products and scented candles. And to me, that scent, as I come in the door, it smells like peace. It smells like peace because things are in alignment again. They've been recalibrated. And peace in our family really is sort of the fragrant result of being aligned, properly aligned with each other and with God. Right? Because life will tend to knock us around and knock us out of alignment. So it requires our attention an effort in the Spirit to recalibrate it, to put it back in line. I want us to begin with peace today. because the first thing to occur in most crisis situations, in most upheaval, in most most trials, is anxiety and panic. And anxiety and panic will cascade then into irrational thinking, weariness, short tempers, and then outright open conflict. So if we can fight for peace in the midst of trials, we're going to go a really long way to short-circuiting that slide into chaos and putting things back in proper alignment. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, or the product, right, of a life in the Spirit of God, is something that all of us should be familiar with. Right? Galatians 5, 22-23. These are things that I would encourage you to pray into your life regularly. Diligently seek these in your home. And so what are they? Right? Love, joy, peace. There's peace. Third one on the list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Peace. It's the third character trait produced by the Spirit. And love and joy precede it. So I personally am of the belief that these character traits build on one another. And so I think peace begins and is bound together with love in the first place. Like Paul says in Colossians 3, above all, put on love, which binds all these together in perfect harmony. So when we begin with and we cultivate an atmosphere of unconditional love in our home, love of God and love of one another, it is the key ingredient in developing a spirit of peace. And I know I've shared this story, I think, with you guys before, but my daughter, Gabriella, Bella, once told me, that she loves how Patricia and I love one another, and she loves how we love her and her brothers in the home. Like, there's something about that love that she loves, right? And I said, why is that? Why do you appreciate that so much? And she said, because it makes me feel safe. It makes me feel safe, right? It makes her feel peace. So if you need a refresher on what love is and what love does, I know Pastor Minner just covered this not long ago in one of his sermons. The best place to start, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, memorize it, pray it into your heart and your mind, practice it all the time. It is patient, it is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it doesn't dishonor, right? It's not selfish, it's not easily angered, it doesn't keep a long list of offenses in its back pocket that it can pull out and beat up others with it. It rejoices in the truth. It protects, it trusts, it hopes, it perseveres, and it never fails, right? That's the love of Christ, and that's the love that we should be aiming at, to emulate, to imitate as dearly loved children of God, right? Love is the atmosphere that's required for peace to grow. So keep that one in mind. Love is the atmosphere required for peace to grow. And to thrive. So what comes next? Love, joy. Joy is next on the list. And where does joy come from? Right? If love and joy will cascade into peace, then it would be really helpful to know, okay, how do we get this joy? Where does it come from? Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So the Father is joyful. When is the Father joyful? The Father is joyful when we humbly walk in dependence on Him and His grace in His presence. So joy has its genesis, has its beginning with a faith relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And so I don't know where all of you are, but if you have been walking through life and even walking through church life thinking that you, by coming to church and by keeping a set of rules or, by living up to a certain code of conduct, is going to earn your way into God's good graces and you earn your way into God's presence, you've missed it completely. You've missed it completely because it is only by faith in Jesus Christ, the one who loved, 1 Corinthians 13, the only person, the only human being who's ever done that perfectly is Jesus Christ. The only human being that has ever exhibited perfectly all of the fruit of the Spirit, all of the character traits of the fruit of the Spirit, that is Jesus Christ. And it's only through faith in him and his victory over sin and death on the cross and his gift of that eternal life to you and I, it's only by faith in him that we're able to be in God's presence. And so our joy and his joy is when we are walking humbly in dependence on him and his grace and his presence. So it begins with a faith relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Now, let me read a couple passages to you. Zephaniah 3:17. You can write these down. You can look them up if you want. Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. Wow. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, there's the love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. So we've got gladness, joyful songs. He's going to calm your fears with his love, right? So and here's another one, Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So love is the atmosphere that peace requires, and joy, the joy of the Lord, is the strength that calms our fears and actually then results in our own joy, which overflows into a peace, into a peace that the Bibles, that the scriptures say, transcends all understanding. All understanding. So we are living through some trying times. And it seems like that phrase is constantly on my tongue these days, trying times. We're living through trying times, difficult times. But it's true. We are. Now, we can put them in context and we can look at different trying times throughout history, right? Every generation has had their trying times. And these ones are trying for us. And we've been through others. For those of us that are already given to a spirit of melancholy, to those of us who are tend towards the cup half full, or those of us who struggle with anxiety already, well, for those folks, COVID, racial upheaval, and the sort of scorched earth partisan politics that we're going through right now ahead of an election, this is like a giant anxiety sandwich for you all. And I get that. And to you especially, but really to all of us, God's peace, if we can get it, if we can grasp it, God's peace is like water in the desert. It's like water in the desert. Now, I don't know how many of you guys know the story of the hymn. It's one of my favorite hymns. It is well with my soul. But a few years ago when I was in Israel, I got the opportunity to go to a place called the American Colony Hotel in Jerusalem. And in the American Colony Hotel, they have the original handwritten copy of the lyrics of that hymn by Horatio Spafford. And if you're not familiar with the story, I'll share it with you briefly here. But Spafford was a very wealthy, successful lawyer in Chicago. He was a real estate investor. And he lost most of his investments in the Chicago fire of 1871. So it was a disaster for him. Then in 1873... he and his wife and his four daughters had planned a vacation to go to England. They were friends. The family was friends with Dwight L. Moody. He's a pretty cool friend to have, if you ask me. And they were going to hear him at an evangelistic event there in England, so they planned to go. So his wife and his daughters ended up going ahead of him on a ship, ahead of him because he needed to resolve some business problems at home stemming from the Chicago fire. On their crossing, his wife and his four daughters, the ship that they were on collided with another ship, killing something like 226 or some odd people, including all four of Spafford's daughters. And so when his wife arrived in England, she sent a telegraph that just two words, it said, saved, alone. And that was how he found out that he'd lost his daughters. So on his voyage to England to be with his wife, he asked the captain if he would wake him up, if it were nighttime, if he would wake him up and let him know when they were passing over the spot where the accident occurred. And it was as they were passing over that spot that Horatio Spafford penned these lyrics to this hymn. And I'm going to read most of it to you here, because I think it's beautiful and it will make the point really well. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded, has looked upon my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And here's the last verse I want to share with you. For me, be it Christ hence to live, if Jordan over me shall roll, no pain shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. Now, if that is not a peace that transcends all understanding, I honestly don't know what is. Peace comes from loving God with all of our being, practically loving one another as Christ loves us, and rejoicing, finding joy, strengthening ourselves in the joy of God's promises, God's presence, and God's power in our life. Right? Being rightly aligned with God and our spouse in love and joy will help us weather even the most challenging storms. A lot of you guys know I used to be, I used to be a commercial diver, not driver, diver. I did underwater construction, inspection, salvage, that kind of thing. And we had a saying, at least among my group of guys, that that fear can be healthy, but panic kills. This goes back to where we started from. Panic will cause us to think irrationally. It will tire us out. It will wear you down. And once you're worn down, it'll shorten your temper, shorten your patience with one another. It will rob you of joy. It will result in open conflict in your home, in your marriage. So we need to fight for peace in the Spirit with Jesus at the lead, with love and with joy that will result in a peace that transcends understanding. That's our goal. That's where we want to start this week. So I want to introduce the table questions to you guys, and I hope that you guys will be able to flesh out some practical ways that you can cultivate an atmosphere of love in your home so that your children and your children's children will be able to say that the love that they sense in your home makes them feel safe, makes them feel peace. Okay, so we want to talk about cultivating that atmosphere in your home. So the first thing is, question number one, how can you cultivate an atmosphere of love in our home? Be specific. Come up with specific ways, whether it's the way that you talk to one another, the words you choose, the atmosphere you create, even from things like the decorations, right? Believe it or not, the way that you decorate can speak love into your home. So think about that and really get specific on it. Number two, how can you strengthen yourself in the joy of the Lord in the midst of storms and fight off the panic. How can you do that specifically? You know, we go through scripture and we look, you know, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Strengthening yourself in the joy of the Lord is something that scripture prescribes, and you can dig in there and come up with some practical ways for doing that. Finally, I want you guys to share some experiences with each other. How have you seen God's faithfulness in the midst of our current trials, or maybe a trial that you've been through previously? Or maybe how have you seen God faithful in someone else's life in the midst of trials? Or how have you seen the love of God in one another and the joy of the Lord help carry a fellow brother or sister in the Lord through something difficult? I can think of a bunch of examples of that off the top of my head, but I want you guys to do that. Again, before I pray, I want to remind you about 9:30 Sunday mornings, the Zoom call, virtual table talk, and I want to invite you guys to participate in that. Would love to see more of you there and continue to connect with each other. Why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for your love for us. And God, that we can love because you first loved us. We thank you for your joy. God, we thank you that you sing joyful songs over us, and that you call us to strengthen ourselves in your joy. Father, I pray that each of us in our marriage and our relationship with our children and extended family, God, would fight for peace, your peace, the peace that Jesus, that you have given us. You said that you don't give as the world gives. You have given us peace. It is ours. We own it already. We just need to appropriate it. Help us to do so. Help us to step out in faith, to put into action the things that you have taught us, God, things that you speak to us. Help us be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. So, Father, we thank you. We pray for your blessing over our time and discussion. We pray, God, that you would sink these truths deep into our hearts and illuminate our minds, that we would have practical ways to put them into action. And God, that you would bless us in our doing for your glory and for our good, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody. We will talk to you real soon.